Great. We're going to get started. Thank you for joining us this morning. My name is Dana Flanders. I'm a member of the pharmaceutical team here at J.P. Morgan. It's my pleasure to introduce our next speaker, Jim Fikencher of Antares, and we will have a breakout for Q&A afterwards in the Kent room across the hall. So with that, Jim.
Thank you, Dan, and good morning, everyone. I first want to thank you for having the stamina to be here Thursday morning at 9 o'clock. So pleasure to see a room as full as we have here this morning. The other thing that I would start out by saying is I'm obviously not Eamon Hobbs. Eamon is our chief executive officer, joined the company last year. He had a minor problem with eye and had to have a little surgery, but he's doing well, but wasn't allowed to fly. So I've joined the company about 2 months ago in the beginning of November. I spent the last 9 years at Auxilium Pharmaceutical. I knew of Antares, and I'm really excited to be here. I think it's a company that's got a lot of great promise. So I would encourage all of you to examine our safe harbor statement, particularly the risk factors that you'll find in all of our SEC documents, including the most recent 10-K and 10-Q, which you can find at on our website, www.antarespharma.com. So again, I believe that Antares is a very compelling investment opportunity. We are a U.S.-based specialty pharmaceutical company that's really poised for growth. It's a company that's been around for some period of time, but we're really right on the precipice, I believe, right now of doing some great things. We have a core platform technology, which is a device manufacturer. We have a group out in Minnesota with some really terrific engineers, and we have partners who will make very specialized and specific auto-injectors, needleless injectors, as well as multi-dose pens. And I'll talk a little bit more about those and what we've done with them. So we've also launched our first proprietary product called Otrexa. That's a methotrexate subcutaneous injection in an auto-injector. We launched that in 2014, and we're now working on several more products that will be our own proprietary products, including quick-shot testosterone for low testosterone, and we're also working with Teva on a potential AB-rated generic to epinephrine pen. We have strong partnerships with leading global and regional pharmaceutical companies around the world for drug-device combination products, and it's, again, a very exciting period of time for Antares. We have a number of catalysts that we expect to play out in 2015, the first of which we believe will be the quick-shot testosterone. We have our Phase 3 trial is fully enrolled, and the primary endpoint is PK data at 12 weeks, and we expect to release that information in the second quarter of 2015. We're also very excited about the status of our Vibex epinephrine pen with Teva. We have already begun the manufacture of the launch quantities for Teva. We'll begin shipping those in the first quarter, so we will have revenues first, second, and throughout the year on the sale of the devices to Teva. But obviously, the thing that we're really excited about is to get an approval from the FDA and hopefully an AB rating of therapeutic equivalence by Teva in sometime this year. The other catalyst is something that I can now say is already here, and that is for a long time, as a company that manufactures these pens for different partners, they're oftentimes very confidential. They don't want to let the public know until as late as they possibly can. So you may have seen us last year, and we talked about Teva. We had products in the pipeline, Teva Pen 1, Pen 2. Well, we've now disclosed that Pen 2 is exenatide pen, so competing against Byetta. That's now public as the ANDA for that was filed last year. And in late December, AstraZeneca and Amylin filed a Paragraph 4 lawsuit against that, so we've now started the 30-month stay. I think the fact that we now know and people can see that we've got another really nice product in a very nice market that's on its way is something that we're very excited about. And then finally, throughout this year, we're going to continue to see prescription data for Otrexa, and I'm going to get a lot more into some of the specifics around our expectations and what we're doing with Otrexa as we move on. So a company that's got a core platform of proven technology in devices. We also, in the past, have been involved in transdermal gel products as well. And basically what we're doing is we're trying to leverage that core platform two different directions. One is to have our own proprietary products like Otrexup, like QuickShot Testosterone. We have Sumatriptan Pen that's also in development right now, and a couple of other products. The last two, Elestrin and Gelnique, were products that came out of the transdermal gel technology that we had. And then, on the other hand, we also want to try to maximize the value through partnerships. And so we have, for example, Tevtropin and Zomajet for human growth hormone. We have those needle-free injectors that are launched throughout the U.S., Europe, and Japan. We've got the epinephrine pen. We've got Exanatide pen. We've got another project with Teva that has not been disclosed, what we call Teva Pen 1. We're also working with Pfizer on an OTC gel, and we have another undisclosed lifecycle management project that we announced last year, but we haven't been able to tell either the company nor the product that we're working on at this point in time. So this slide shows you a couple of the different injector technologies that we have. In the upper left, that is the Vibex auto-injector for Otrexup. It's a very elegant device. It's been well received by the physician and patient community. That's approved in the United States. We also have in the bottom left the needle-free injectors for human growth hormone, again, approved in the United States, Europe, and Japan. And on the right-hand side of the slide, we have two different devices that are not yet approved anywhere, but we're working to get those approved in the United States, top right being the QuickShot auto-injector for testosterone, and bottom right is a multi-dose pen. That would be the type of a pen, for example, with an Exanatide product. So an overview of our proprietary products. We have Otrexup, which was launched in the first quarter of 2014 for the treatment of rheumatoid arthritis and juvenile rheumatoid arthritis. We also have, as part of that label, a psoriasis indication. And we have a co-promotion agreement with Leo Pharma. Their derm reps are co-promoting Otrexup in the United States. And it makes up about 10% of the total TRXs that we have with Otrexup at this point in time. We have QuickShot Testosterone. As I mentioned, phase 3 PK study is completely enrolled. We have top-line data expected in the second quarter of this year. And we're working with the FDA to determine the next steps. We put out a press release on Monday morning that talked about the fact that the FDA has given us some indication of the total number of patients that they're going to require. They've moved the bar a little bit on us, but we see that as a bit of a speed bump. And I'll talk some more about that as we get into the development slide on that. We have Vibex Sumatriptan. So we have an ANDA that's been filed in the first half of 2014, a very interesting opportunity for us that was originally designed as a partner product with Teva. A few years ago, Teva lost a little bit of their interest in doing a generic like this. We were able to recoup the rights to that, and so we'll actually be the market holder. But we've also agreed with Teva that they would be a good commercialization partner. So they'll actually do the distribution for us, but we'll split all profits equally with them. So, again, excited that if we can get that to market, we think we've got a nice opportunity going forward without a significant investment in infrastructure from Antares required. We have what we call QuickShot M. That's an undisclosed neurology product that's currently in preclinical development. And then, as I mentioned, we have these legacy products for which we receive royalties, specifically Elestrin, which is marketed in the U.S. by Meta, and Gelnique 3% is marketed by Actavis here in the United States. And those provide an ongoing royalty stream for the company. So I talked a little bit about the strategy with our partners. What I want to do is talk a little bit about how the typical life cycle of a partnership would work. So typically we would see at signing there may be an upfront payment that would be amortized over the contract term. Throughout the development stage of these products, we basically get reimbursement for all costs incurred, both expense and the capital, are covered by the partner, plus we receive a reasonable margin on that. And then there can be, in certain instances, milestone payments for success along the way as well. Each individual contract is slightly different, but generally these are how they work. And then within commercialization, once the product is approved, we basically will receive a margin on the devices that we sell to our partner. And we typically also, because of the proprietary nature and the intellectual property around our devices, we'll also get a reasonable royalty on the net in-market sales so that we're totally aligned with being as successful as possible with our partners. So let's dive in a little bit more to our proprietary products, and I'm going to start with Otrexup. As I said, Otrexup is subcutaneous methotrexate injection. It's got an approval for rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, as well as, psoriasis, thank you. So let's talk a little bit about the design of the device. It's really an elegant product. It is a single-use, disposable, and very easy to use. So it's collar-activated. If you think about the fact that you have people with rheumatoid arthritis, they may not have the best dexterity. So the product is very easy to use. You basically have a twist-off cap. And then you, when you look at that, there's no needle that's visible, so it helps for people who have needle phobia. The needle is down below the collar. You literally take it and you push it against the skin. It activates. It injects very quickly. It's very easy to grip. The pain score that we have on this, on a 1 to 100 pain score, it scores a 3. So it's virtually pain-free. The needle guard prevents additional accidental sticks. Very quick delivery speed. It's about a 3-second delivery for Otrexup. And there is a gentle audible click followed by a red indicator so that the patient knows exactly when they've started the injection and have finished it as well. Methotrexate is clearly the cornerstone of RA therapy. We all know that the biologics have been extremely successful and have really changed the treatment paradigm, but most rheumatologists will tell you that the first thing that they do is they start patients on methotrexate. Many patients will have a very good response on methotrexate, and oftentimes you'll hear physicians saying, I'd like to keep them on methotrexate as long as possible before getting them started on some of the more expensive biologics. What you hear is that the reasons for discontinuation is that it's either lack of efficacy or poor tolerability. So oral methotrexate, you'll see that you get to a plateau point. You can't get enough available into the system. And it also causes GI intolerance problems. So patients who have had an inadequate response to oral methotrexate for reasons of tolerability or efficacy may continue to derive a lot of good benefits from Otrexup via subcutaneous administration. We have better bioavailability, improved efficacy, and tolerability. So this slide, I think, is really something that explains the difference between subcutaneous methotrexate and oral methotrexate. The green line represents oral methotrexate, and as you can see, once you get above 15 milligrams in a dose, the patient starts to hit a plateau, whereas the yellow line is Otrexup, and you can see that we continue to get bioavailability above both at each one of the different time points, but as well as continued growth up to 25 milligrams. And what's interesting is that I think this is something that rheumatologists really respond to. The majority of our sales are in that 20 and 25 milligram dose that we see. So able to get better bioavailability over the oral products. So we launched the product in 2014. We want to take a look at the overall market. When you look at recent rheumatology launches, it is typically a slow and steady climb. Part of the reason for that is that patients often only see their rheumatologist a couple of times a year, so there's not the opportunity for continued script growth. But they're generally slow and steady climbs. You can see two of the biologics have, in their first 52 weeks of launch with Orencia and Xeljanz and the two top lines, Otrexup somewhere in the middle of the pack there, but certainly better than the Rheos and Benlysta launch that we've seen. These are total prescriptions. I'd also highlight on the left-hand side of the screen, there's a green line there for Rasuvo. That is another subcutaneous product that has been launched by Medac here in the United States. And you can see that their launch curve doesn't look like ours, but it is starting to affect us, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. When you look at try to normalize those prescriptions on a prescription per rep basis, we actually see that our field force is doing a very good job, and the prescriptions per rep of Otrexup is certainly better than two of the more recent launches that you've seen with Xeljanz and Rheos. We obviously have about 25 reps that we're selling at this point in time compared to significantly larger field forces for, in particular, Xeljanz and Rheos. So this slide here looks at our total prescriptions, recurring prescriptions, and new prescriptions on a four-week rolling basis since the launch. The top line is our total prescriptions. You can see that we were off to a nice start. The Rasuvo launch came out, and we've seen a bit of a flattening of that curve. We've also seen that new prescriptions have flattened, and the last couple of weeks have gone down. We think there's a couple of reasons for that. One, clearly, the Rasuvo launch has had a bit of an impact on that. But I would also say that some of the things that we're doing to change that curve may have also affected the back half of that year. So none of us at Antares are happy with this curve, and we are taking steps to try to correct that in 2015. And let me tell you what those plans are. So the first thing is we launched the product with a contract sales organization from Quintiles, and while we see that the reps did a nice job, we also believe that having them be Antares employees is better a better way to manage that. So what we've done is we've canceled our contract with them at the end of last year. It could have been some of the reason that maybe we didn't get as much traction because there were several reps. We took about a third of them that were underperforming and didn't offer them a spot with Antares. And so, you know, it could be that we saw a little bit of an impact of that the last quarter of last year. We've also taken the opportunity to increase the number of sales territories. So we're going from 25 to 32 territories, and we're replacing those underperforming reps as well as hiring new reps here in January. The second thing that we're doing is we're improving our hub services to assist the physicians with the reimbursement process. So oral methotrexate is very easy for a prescription, a physician to give a prescription to a patient. They take it to the pharmacy. It's generally approved. It's a very inexpensive product. But with respect to Otrexup, as in many cases with a launch year product, we were excluded from many of the formularies, and there were step edits in place. The patient had to fail on oral methotrexate before they would pay for the subcutaneous. So this is also true of all the biologics, that you generally have these prior authorizations and step edits that are involved in those. And we know that the answer is we've got to take that job of the prior authorization off of the physician and their staff and try to help them to make it as easy as possible to get that prescription filled. So we're improving those that hub service beginning in January. We're also launching a patient starter kit, the idea being that the patient will walk out of the doctor's office with enough product that they should be able to get through the hub such that in their next month when they take the prescription to the pharmacy, they should get approval for that. And finally, the last thing that we're doing is we're going through our first contracting cycle with managed care. And what we've said is that we're going to contract with them on a fiscally responsible basis to try to reduce those prior authorization hurdles. You know, our goal is to have parity with Rasuvo. Our goal is to eliminate as many of the prior authorizations as we can and offer what is obviously from our shareholders' point of view the lowest possible rebate to make that happen. I've had 9 years of experience in the TRT replacement space, and I've seen a significant change in the power of the payer. And you know, I know that what will probably happen next year is that we're going to win some of those plans. We're probably going to lose some of those plans. I'm not sure that it makes sense to pay a premium rebate to get exclusivity on all those, and so it may be that there will be business that we're not going to participate in as we move forward. But I think that it is important for us to try to get as many of those prior authorizations hurdles down as we can. So if I look at our pipeline, we have QuickShot Testosterone. I've talked a lot about this, but this will be the first at-home auto-injector for subcutaneous treatment of low testosterone. The current therapies that are available is once-a-day gel that a patient has to put on their shoulder. It has a risk of transference. There's also patients who use intramuscular injection, which either has to happen at the physician's office or many patients do it at home. But testosterone is a very viscous product, and so it's a long, painful injection when you're doing it at intramuscular. The product that we have, our great engineers in Minnesota have developed a way to take that highly viscous product and put it through a 27-gauge needle with a 1 ml capacity. It's designed to be about 5 to 7 seconds for the injection. And we should be able to have once a week dosing on this. So, you know, there's a convenience factor of not having to worry about the transference, but also once a week I inject myself, I have good steady state testosterone throughout that. So the TRT market is one that's certainly gone through some issues in 2014. There was some reports about cardiovascular risk for patients who were put onto testosterone replacement. The FDA held a panel on this in September of 2014, and they concluded that, in fact, there was no credible data to show that there were an increased risk of cardiovascular problems. In fact, several studies were out there that showed cardioprotective data with respect to testosterone replacement therapy. They did mention that there's a need for more screening to make sure that patients not only have signs and symptoms, but that they're actually below the 300 nanograms per deciliter, which is the low end of being hypogonadal. We think that the quick shot testosterone product will eliminate those transference issues, eliminate the painful intramuscular injections, and we're going to have a much better outcome for the patients. These graphs here show the range of testosterone on our 50 and 100 milligram products that were in the phase two. The two red lines show the lower and upper boundary of what the FDA considers normal range of testosterone. It's very important from a clinical point of view that you're able to show that you could stay within those boundaries. So our phase three study fully enrolled 150 men, and we're basically looking to get that data out in the second quarter of 2015. We did just have an update to the program, and I want to talk quickly about that. The FDA came back after our Type C meeting that we held with them in May. This is also obviously following the September AdCom. And they came back to us and they said, you know, what we really think that you need is 350 total patients subjected to test out to your product, with 200 patients exposed for 6 months and 100 patients exposed for a year. So when we look at the total number of patients that we have, we basically fall into an issue where we need about 70 additional patients with 6 months of data. So this is really hot off the press. We still want to have a discussion with the FDA. While no one's happy that we have to do an incremental 70 patients, though, I think given the ruckus that there was about cardiovascular issues, et cetera, last year, I think it's actually a positive that the FDA has said, look, what you need is a safety database of 350 patients. So we'll work with the FDA to determine exactly how we make this happen, and hopefully we'll be able to. Our current plan was to announce phase three trial results in Q2. We're still on track for that. The 12-month follow-up would end in November of 2015, so we had an early 16 submission. So obviously what we're trying to work on right now is to say, how can we get that 70-patient safety study done and not affect our timeline for filing and approval? And as we get more on there, we'll update the market as to how we're going to do that. I talked about the fact that we have Vibex sumatriptan. We filed that in the first half of 2014. We'll be the market authorization holder. Teva will be our distribution partner with a 50-50 split. Obviously, a very nice sized market that we'll be contributing into. So very quickly, I want to spend the last couple minutes talking about our partner products. Again, the Teva Antares relationship has been a really wonderful relationship for us over several years, and we're really close to bringing it home with the first product, the epinephrine pen. So you know that Mylan is the dominant player in the epinephrine pen market. It's a market that is about $1.3 to $1.4 billion. We filed this. The idea is that Teva is looking to get an AB-rated generic to Mylan's EpiPen. They have they had a lawsuit, the Paragraph 4 litigation, which was settled. The settlement date is June 22nd of 2015. And just before the end of 2014, Teva filed what we hope to be the final amendment that the FDA had requested some incremental data. So Beginning in the first quarter and ramping up throughout the year, we're going to be launching we'll be selling them launch quantities of the Vibex pen. And obviously, our hope is that at some point this year, they will receive an approval. Once they receive that approval, just to remind you again, we get a high single-digit royalty on the total sales of Teva. So we think that could really change the face of Antares as a company. We talked about the fact that we have this Pen 2, which is exenatide. They filed with the FDA in October of 14, and they're just beginning the Paragraph 4 litigation. There's one other, Pen 1, which is undisclosed at this point, and we're working through that with some PK work in Europe. With Pfizer, we have an undisclosed branded OTC gel product, which is currently in phase 3 clinical development. Again, they assume the full cost and responsibility for clinical development, manufacturing, and commercialization. And then last September, we had a partnership that we signed with another undisclosed company for a lifecycle management play on a very, very interesting and growing product as well. So to wrap this all up, again, remind you, our 2015 catalyst, quick shot testosterone, PK results in the second quarter. Look for some announcement on the EpiPen with Teva. Start to begin the shipments in the first quarter, and hopefully we'll get a therapeutic equivalence decision by the FDA, and also watch attracts of prescriptions throughout the year. So thank you very much for your time, and I think we'll move to the Kent room for questions.